Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Aaron Rodgers had no problem moving the ball early in Dallas. Green Bay led by as many as 24 points in the third quarter, playing from behind the entire game. Ezekiel Elliott was held in check with only 62 rushing yards and a touchdown. Dak Prescott, however, did throw for a career-high 463 yards in a comeback effort. There's that. Amari Cooper also had a career high with 226 receiving yards. And after the game, Dak said the numbers meant nothing in the losing effort, where the QB also had three interceptions. Got to talk about those. So, Shannon, what is your biggest takeaway from this one?
Oh, now we're back to Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, he's here.
Hall of Famer.
Okay. And were the late, great Denny Green. The Cowboys are who we thought they were.
Really? Who you thought they were.
And the Packers did not let them off the hook. Now, you and a lot of other people got all excited. Beat the Giants.
Yep.
Beat Washington.
Yep.
Beat Miami. You're feeling good. You're pounding your chest. My team is going to the Super Bowl. Fox Bet says the most likely scenario. ESPN, the most likely Super Bowl scenario. New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys.
That was just last week.
Last week. I wonder what it's going to be like this week. Skip, look. The Cowboys' three wins have come over teams with a combined 2-12 record. That's fact. They're the bottom tier. Miami, dead last. Washington, next to last. Skip, come on. Let's be real. You know they hadn't beaten anybody. And what's going to happen, I know you're going to get up here and pontificate. That's a big old word I wanted to use. I've been waiting to use that for a long time.
I don't pontificate.
Oh, yeah, you go. You go pontificate about how good Dak looked, and you're so proud of your team.
Wait, are you putting words in my mouth?
No. Okay. I'm just saying, how proud you are of your team, because even Jerry said that. How proud, because they got down and they fought back. This is what we know. This is not conjecture. This is not speculation. This is not innuendo. This is fact.
Okay.
The Packers, the Cowboys never got within a single score. Once the score was 7-0, that's as close as they got. Because it was 14-0, what did Dak do? When it was 17-0, what did Dak do? When it was 24-0, what did Dak do? When it was 31-3, he did nothing.
How many quarters are there in a football game? Four.
And guess what? And at the end of the fourth quarter, what was the score?
The opposite of what you picked.
Skip, this is not about me.
You bought into the Cowboys.
I want you to know, Skip.
Right? You bought in?
It's my turn. Okay. Yeah, I didn't ask you to
just open. Asking questions, rhetorical questions.
Again, Dak played awful. And when Zeke Elliott does not get 75 yards rushing, Skip Bayless, what normally happens? 1-9. That's not conjecture. That's fact again, Skip Bayless. Again, Dak is inaccurate with the football. How many times let you see this? How many times? I mean, DJ, there's a beat. You know what, Skip? I'm going to continue to talk while the DJ dropped that track. I don't be talking over the track while it's playing in the background.
Okay.
But the people at home will be able to see what's going on when I'm talking about Dak inaccuracy. Look at this. Come on, Skip. Really? That's your guy. That's the guy that you...
plays we're talking about here.
It don't matter the plays. You see at the end. I just need you to see the end result.
Okay.
At the end, and you keep talking about that guy's better than Patty Mahomes. That's it. The Cowboys defense. The Cowboys defense were put in bad situations. Now, am I shocked that the Packers were able to run the football as well as they were? Absolutely. I'm shocked beyond shocked they were able to run the football. I'm beyond shocked that the Packers were able to stymie the Cowboys run and get pressure on that vaunted offensive line of yours. But at the end of the day, Skip, you told me the quarterback is the MVP. He's the most important player. He's the most valuable player. And your most important, most valuable player came up small. Smaller than many me.
Wow. Interesting. You done?
Fact. And my team won.
Huh. Interesting. So, before I unleash on every bad point that you just made, every wrong point, every unfair point you just made, I want to remind our viewers the Dallas Cowboys are still tied for the lead in the NFC East.
Say it again.
The Cowboys now go to play at Jets, while the Eagles, tied for first in the NFC East, have to go play at Minnesota.
We got
we're just getting started here,
aren't
we, Mr. Sharp? And I also want to remind everybody that my quarterback, the awful, inaccurate Dak Prescott, is still leading the whole National Football League in QBR. But that's
what was the quarter, what was the QBR yesterday?
27.
Yesterday.
It was terrible.
Is that good?
I thought it was a little harsh, actually. But I'll get to that in just a moment. Now, for one objective point that I would like to make, my defense was a disaster yesterday, and I did not see that coming just the way I didn't see it being a disaster in that playoff game here at the Coliseum against the Rams last January. I don't get it. I don't know. They just didn't show up. And I told you last week to watch Aaron Jones, because the real Aaron on the Packers now is not Rodgers. It is Jones. And in his debut at Jerry World back in 2017, he went 19 carries for 125 yards. Mm-hmm. Remember, he's a Cowboy fan, born and raised in El Paso, went to UTEP, and he likes to take it out on Dallas.
Yeah.
And he likes to rub it in at Dallas, especially at Jerry World. And yesterday, he goes for 107 more yards. But worse than that, he caught 75 yards worth of passes. He destroyed my defense. And if you could please put an APB out for DeMarcus Lawrence, the $100 million man.
Whoa!
One tackle. Where did that? And Robert Quinn, you were raving about Robert Quinn. He had one tackle. They had no sacks. They were no shows. My defense was basically a no show, which brings me to my
The tackles are pretty good for the Packers now, Skip. Give them credit. Now, Bulaga and Bakhtiari.
Good offensive line. I would agree with that. This brings me back to my quarterback. My biggest takeaway from that game is I'm just so glad that Dak Prescott is my quarterback.
Me too.
Because you will not find a mentally or physically tougher quarterback in this league than Dakota Prescott. Reigned Dakota Prescott, and he nearly reigned, as in R-E-I-G-N-E-D, yesterday, because what he did was extraordinary in the second half. He was down his star left tackle, and then he lost his star right tackle, and all game long, the two Smiths from Green Bay, the guys you raved about all last week, Za'Darius and Preston, they were all over Dak Prescott on nearly every throw. And he stood tall, and he stood strong, and he stood tough. And would you believe in the second half, the guy who can't throw, the inaccurate Dak Prescott that you just ridiculed, threw for 329 yards. Think about that. 329 in the second half. And you know what? He came within one bad call of pulling off the greatest all-time regular season comeback in NFL history. NFL. I'm talking about NFL. You can go look this up. They were down 31-3 late in the third quarter, and they were on a roll and on their way to the greatest comeback ever when this play happened. And the down and distance, it's first and 10 at the 34. And they had just held Aaron Rodgers, forced him into another bad series. Fourth and 20, another punt. It's 31-17. And what happened?
What happened?
Dak throws it to where he thinks Michael Gallup is supposed to be. This is the turning point of this football game. Give me this playback. Throws it to where Michael Gallup was supposed to be. But if we see the slow-mo of what Kevin King was doing to Michael Gallup, this is a mugging. He's slapping him. He's head slapping him. He's yanking his head sideways.
You say you like physical football.
Yeah, oh, I love physical football. And that's obviously beyond 5 yards. He knocks him completely off the route. Dak throws it to where he's supposed to turn out to. But Kevin King has yanked his head so far inside that he can't turn outside. And not only does Kevin King intercept it, he returns it 15 yards. They go nowhere again because they went nowhere all about for the last quarter and a half of the game.
But I thought
and
you
they
had a
get deep. It's my turn. They get a gift field goal from Mason Crosbar, who I thought was hurt in the first half on a tackle on a kickoff. I don't know what happened. He came back and he makes the gift field goal that was just a little too much for Dak Prescott. But did he stop? No, here he came again. And it's another touchdown pass. And it comes down to my kicker, Brett the Fret Maher.
Bill Maher, you mean?
Yeah. No, not Bill.
Oh, he cooked like Bill Maher? Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is Maher, but this guy missed from 54 at the end of the first half, and he missed a chip shot at the end of the game that would have at least forced an onside kick, and it would have gotten real interesting if we had gotten the onside kick. But still, what you can't overcome is the Kevin King play. So why couldn't Jason Garrett challenge the Kevin King? Because he had already wasted a challenge in the middle of the third quarter on an Anthony Brown play, where Anthony Brown clearly fouled
Valdez
Scantling. It was just absurd.
Thank you.
And Jason Garrett got started jawing with the head referee, and then he said, okay, I'm going to throw the challenge anyway.
Wait, Skip, the official says, look,
He pushed him
before he got there.
He just
challenge it.
We'll challenge it. And Jason Garrett says, okay, and out of spite, he blows the challenge that could have saved the game for Dallas. Because then at the end of the third quarter, he had to challenge an Amari catch that clearly he got 2 feet in.
Right. Sure.
So now you're out of challenges. So now you can't save the game, and you have to eat the gift field goal that you just gave them off the bad call. And I'm convinced that the referees had it in for Jason Garrett at that point.
Stop it, Skip.
Well, I'm serious. After a while, he starts to get on your nerve, on your psyche, to where you just kind of look the other way and say, just let him play on that.
Skip, I'm convinced now they need to do away with this rule. We've seen replays where it's obvious pass interference.
Okay, but it could
and they know it, Skip, and they never overrule it. Skip, we've seen it.
That would have been called. If you went to a challenge on that one, the Kevin King play, he is slapping him, grabbing him, twisting him. It's the most outrageous pass interference I've seen in a long time.
I agree. Skip, I'm not arguing, but it's hard for me to believe that they're going to overturn it because I've seen plays just as egregious as that they don't overturn. But, Skip, my point is this. Why is it when it's 7-0, when it's 14-0, it's 17-0, 24, 30, why can't Dak do any of that then?
Thank you for bringing that up. Let's go back to the first of the game now. And this is a game-changing play that just killed me, and it killed Amari Cooper. Because it is still nothing to nothing, and the Dallas is driving, and they get it all the way down to Green Bay's 38, and Dak drops back and fires it down the seam to Amari Cooper. And he throws it right where Amari needs to slow and catch it because the safety's still behind him and coming over on the play. And Amari Cooper, if I could just tell you, here it is. And again, not only that, but he runs it back like 40 yards. So it was an all-time killer play because they're going to go in 7-0, and we're going to have a whole different story here. So Amari winds up catching 11 balls for 226 yards in the game. But can I read the quote that Amari uttered after the game?
Sure.
The only thing that's really on my mind is the dropped ball. He's talking about that pass we just saw. The dropped ball and the turnover it created. I feel like it gave them a lot of momentum. I got it. That's what I was thinking. And those are the three worst words in football. I got it. Because it's just right there. All he has to do is slow and catch it in between the safety, and he's already beaten the corner inside, and sit down, and you got it first and 10 at the 15, and I think good things are about to happen.
Skip, I've tried to explain this to people on social media. I believe the two most difficult catches to make in football are the one that's over the shoulder because you lose it in the blind spot because it drops over your blind, you know, because it drops in your unless you track it all the way, and very few people do this. So you lose it in the blind spot.
Yep.
And that one, when you're running full speed one way, you stop. Try to open your hips.
Yep.
Skip, when the ball is coming straight on, okay, I catch it like this. If the ball's over my shoulder, I catch it like this. Mm-hmm. But if I got to open my hips, am I going to catch it like this or am I going to catch it like that? Mm-hmm. Now, you got a split second.
Okay.
How am I going to turn my hands and catch it? Now, that's the second. That's back-to-back weeks. We've seen this. Yeah. At what point in time does Dak realize these guys running full speed one way, it's very difficult for them to open their hips and make that play.
Okay.
That's twice in a row, Skip.
It was easy. He got both hands on. All he had to do is slow up because if he throws him wider, Darnell Savage is going to blast him.
No, he'll have to throw
it right in the
perfect
slot.
Skip, if he hit him, look at this. He's going to spit the seam. He's gone.
No.
He's going to spit it.
Yeah.
Okay, but he hits him right in the hands. I mean, well, he called it a drop. Everybody called it a drop. Skip. TV called it a drop. It was, if you get two hands, that's a flat-out drop.
Skip.
And Dak is not trying to throw it to Darnell Savage.
No.
He's trying to throw it where Amari can catch
no,
it.
No, Skip, but if you look at the throws that Aaron Rodgers is making when he hits Geronimo Allison or when he hits his receivers, Skip, there's a difference between hitting a guy and letting him get 15 yards and hitting a guy and letting him hit his head on the goalpost with a 40-yard catch and run. Mm. That's the difference between Dak and the top-tier quarterbacks. And once he and you realize that, you're going to be well on your way.
Oh, okay. Well, he only threw for 329 in the second half. I have no idea. It's impossible. You can't throw, but you threw for 329. Now let's look at the next play that could have changed this game because in the next Cowboys series, it's second and 15 from the 17, and Amari's got the demon in his head about, I dropped that ball. I shouldn't have dropped that ball, and it's eating at him. And now what happens?
What happened?
He goes in motion. Then he runs a little pump and go on Jaire Alexander, and it is a sweet throw. It's a touchdown throw, and he's concentrating, and he loses his feet. Mm-hmm. He just goes down. This is going to be a, let's see, from the 17, what's the math on
83.
That? 83-yard touchdown pass, and he falls down. Well, it's 7-0. It's going to be 7-7. The roof is going to come off Jerry World. People are going to go crazy. The Cowboys are going to be fired back up, mm-hmm. and it only went worse and worse from there.
Well, that's what happens. If we're going to talk about this a little later, we see Travis Kelce. He drops a couple of passes early, Skip, and he never got those demons out of his head the rest of the ball game. Now, in this situation right here, and I've been there, Skip, you look that ball all the way in, and when the process of looking it all the way in, you lose yeah, exactly. You lose your balance.
I know.
And the next thing you know, you're like, damn, I should have had a 50-yard touchdown, but I got a 20-yard completion.
Okay. So there are two early plays that started to dig the hole that the defense dug deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yes.
And Aaron Rodgers played okay, but he didn't play great because he didn't need to play great.
No.
What did he throw for? 238?
238, yeah. 34.
Okay. He had a QBR of 49, scale 0 to 100, so it's even under 50.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like he let them up at Jerry World, and he's owned it before, but Aaron Jones owned it. The defense didn't own it. And yet, when you look at the total yards, do you realize that's the most total yards the Dallas Cowboys have ever had in a loss? They broke their loss record, 563 total yards. Green Bay had 335. Mm-hmm. What if one team has 563 and the other has 335? What do you think usually would happen? You'd probably win that game,
The next question I'm going to ask, okay, well, how many turnovers did the team have that had 563?
Okay. Well,
because that's the direct reflection of who's going to win and lose the game.
They had 3 turnovers to 0 for Green
Ta-da.
Bay, and they also had 11 penalties. Dallas did for 124
Ta-da.
Yards. That's a lot. But of the 3 interceptions, and you say Dak is so inaccurate, he deserved the one that you showed because he forced a ball after they were starting to fall deeper and deeper into the hole. He forced one throw the whole game to Randall Cobb trying to get him his first catch of the game against his ex-team. And it's just a bad idea because the corner comes underneath it and picks
off.
And so the point is, I'll give you one bad throw.
Well, just take the flat. Just take the flat right down here.
Well, whatever. But he's just trying to get now you're in comeback mode. You're down 17-0. Okay.
Well, but you know why you're in comeback mode, Skip?
Yeah.
Because he put you there.
Oh, really?
With his turnovers. Yes.
No, he didn't put you
there. Yes, he did. He put you there.
The turnover to Amari wasn't
his fault. Yeah, it is his fault. It's his fault.
Well, Amari took complete blame for that.
No.
You're the only one who thinks it was.
But that's what good teammates. That's what good teammates do, Skip. You take that. That's my fault. I got to make that play.
Yeah. It was a terrible throw. Hit him right there. Hit him right there. It was just terrible. You know, Dak's just a boss.
But they let him get off the hook. He threw a terrible pick in the end zone.
Okay, but the play was an aborted play from the start.
Did you know? Did Dak know that?
Flags are flying.
Hold on. So Dak knew that.
Yep.
So Dak knew that. That's why he threw it like,
flags
I'm going to get.
Flags are flying. It's like a free play.
Well, let me ask you a question. So why was he walking off the field?
Yep.
He was walking off the field. So if he knew there were flags?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Did
because
it
he didn't know.
Is that an interception?
No,
okay,
it didn't count.
Thank you.
Okay, what about the fumble?
Okay. What fumble?
The one that it should have been a fumble. They're talking about procedure.
That hit Cobb in the butt?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, was it
no
a fumble?
No.
Okay.
I didn't see no procedure.
Okay.
I didn't see anybody
does
move.
Does that count? I guess you're talking about plays that did not count.
No.
So Dak threw one ball that should have been picked. The one to Amari definitely wasn't an interception throw. And the one to Kevin King definitely wasn't an interception throw. So he threw one bad pass and he threw for 329 in the second half. And you're saying he's a bust.
No, that isn't.
That he's a liability.
Hold on, Skip.
329.
Skip.
How do you throw for 329? And by the way, the Packers are really good on defense. They're really good in
the
secondary.
That's not what you said last week.
No, I said they were.
Walking to him, threw for 3 touchdowns, and they ran for almost 200 yards.
Threw for 160 yards. My quarterback against the same defense threw for 329 in the second half.
Everybody got it.
Your quarterback threw for 160 in 4 quarters.
With 3 touchdowns and 0 picks.
Okay, Dink and Dak.
And don't do that. See, there you go. Yeah. Oh, so
they're
really.
They're just a little
hold on.
Short.
Skip.
The most overrated plays in all of football are 1 2-yard touchdown passes or 1 and 2-yard touchdown
runs. I think the most overrated stat is QBR. But anyway. But, Skip, you do remember that Kenny King undercut a play. I think he was throwing to Mark King. Kevin King.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped that one.
Yep.
Was that a good throw by Dak?
Mm.
You remember? Yeah.
Well, did he catch it?
See what you do, Skip? Now, anytime the guy drops it, did he catch it? Mm. But they caught those other three. That's all that matters. Mm. All I'm saying, and guess what, Skip Bayless? You had an opportunity. It was 14. The crowd's going bonkers. Mm-hmm. Ooh, the crowd is electric. The roof is about to come off the AT&T. Mm-hmm. And what does Dak do? After they forced the Packers to go 3-and-out, he comes right back out on the first play. Blue-coop, throw the pick. Kevin King going the other way.
We just talked about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Do you have, like, selective memory? Even you agreed it was pass interference.
No.
What are you talking about?
Hold on.
You're looking foolish.
No.
What are you talking about?
If you let me explain.
You already said it was pass interference.
No, it wasn't. No, I didn't say that.
No, it wasn't. You said yes, it was. Yeah. You said it would have been overturned.
No, I did not say it was overturned.
You did say it would be overturned. You just said it. What are you talking about?
I said, even if he had challenged, given the history of the pass interference of what we've seen.
You said that was pass interference and that would have been overturned. You already said it. We'll check the tape.
I don't think he did say it.
Yes, I do think so, Jenny. I do.
I'm sitting right here, too, and I didn't hear it.
I just heard him say it was pass interference. You said it was.
How about this? All I'm saying is this. When you had an opportunity.
Is that Dak's fault, that interception?
Yes, it was his fault.
It was not. The DB is mugging. It's like an assault and battery. He jerked his head down. Couldn't swing out of his
Skip,
route.
You want it both ways.
I don't want it both ways. Dak, I just want that play
back. If Dak throws a 2-yard route, the receiver goes 80 yards, you say Dak threw an 80-yard touchdown. But when he throws an interception, you find every way to blame someone else.
No, I told you he deserved one interception.
He deserved three. That's what's on his resume.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying there are all kinds of interceptions. Some deserve, some
not. I don't know about somebody else. I'm talking about Dak.
How do you explain 329 in the second half against a really good defense when you got two pass rushers you cannot block? How do you explain that? I want you. You're the Hall of Famer. Explain it to me.
Because you're down.
I want to know.
You give me an opportunity.
He's got guys hanging over him. He's got guys busting him in the mouth. He's got Za'Darius Smith trash talking him after that interception.
Yes, he should.
And he shoved him.
What a dumb play.
How dumb can you be throwing
a pick? If you want me to explain. You're down 31-3. That's how you do it. Because even though they were down 31-3, I thought in certain situations, the Packers were too aggressive. And when you get up big like that, nothing cheap, nothing deep. I thought the 60-yard touchdown to Michael Gallup. Mm. I thought the 60-yard touchdown. If they got to go 80 yards and it takes them 4 minutes to get a touchdown, so be it. But you can't give up.
Usually all I hear is, they just played soft. They played prevent in the second half. Green Bay was playing their tails off.
Yes, Skip.
Playing man across the board, just saying, you can't have this.
Okay, Skip. Okay, if that's the case, why didn't he do
it? You know why? Because they knew that the Cowboys couldn't protect Dak. They got backups at left tackle and right tackle. And you got two hellacious pass rushers. And my quarterback just stood in there the whole second half and took so much physical abuse.
If you don't mind me asking, Skip, why didn't he throw for 658 yards since he threw for 329 in the second half? What the hell did he do in the first half?
I just gave you the two plays. One should have been down to the 15 and one should have been a touchdown. That changes the whole momentum.
Did it happen? Like you just told me. Did it happen?
Does Dak play safety?
Now you break.
What was my first point that I made to you? My defense was a disaster.
Your quarterback was a disaster.
Oh, stop it.
Your quarterback was a disaster.
That's the worst thing you've ever said on this show.
At some point in time, you got to stop placing blame on every episode.
At some point, you have to give in and give him some credit for the guts that he showed.
I don't know no guts.
329?
Skip.
You can't fight 329.
Skip.
It's in the books.
Okay. When it was 7-0, it was 14-0, 17-0, 24-0, 31. Where was all that before it got 31-3? That's all I'm asking.
I just showed you the two plays that would have made it 7-0 and maybe even 14-0. I don't know. No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Jenny Taft here to talk to you about 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. So the best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. These aren't snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. They're prescription solutions backed by science. 4HIMS connects you to real doctors online. It's completely confidential and discreet. Just answer a few quick questions, and if a doctor determines 4HIMS is right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Order now. My listeners can get started with the HIMS Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now while supplies last, and subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/undisputed. That's FORHIMS.com/undisputed. 4hims.com/undisputed. No mercy.
Tom Brady in New England started slow in Washington, trailing the entire first quarter. But once the Patriots got rolling, they didn't look back. The remaining three quarters, Brady and the Patriots outscored Washington 27-0. Brady passed for nearly 350 yards, three touchdowns, and one pick in the win. New England is the only remaining undefeated team in the AFC right now. So, Shannon, are the Patriots clearly the best team in the NFL?
No, but I understand why they would be. They're going to be number one in the power rankings, Skip. They're undefeated, and rightfully so. But if you look at who they've beaten, Skip, let's be real now. I mean, the team, the offenses are all in the bottom six in the NFL. Washington, the Giants, Miami. Buffalo is the highest rated offense, and they're 23. Mm. So we don't.
What was your line? An amoeba? One cell amoeba could play quarterback better than Josh Allen?
Well.
Or Matt Barkley?
Well, I don't. You don't even need to be an amoeba to play better than what they got up in Washington. Mm. Skip, this is awful. Mm. And we're going to talk about this a little later.
Yep.
And it ended up costing the coach's job. I read the headline, Brady bounced back against Washington. Skip, every team that's played Washington this year, the quarterback has thrown for at least three touchdowns, except Daniel Jones, who's a rookie. Walker Tuam had three. Mitchell Trubisky had three. Everybody has three touchdowns. They're not good. Mm. The defense, I want to say they're good, but I don't know if they're good or bad, Skip, because when I'm looking at defense that's 32nd, 31st, 30th, 23, 28, how do I judge that? I can't judge that based on that. But the thing I can always say about, you can hang your hat on the Patriots, they never play down the competition. They're going to play their brand, their style of football, no matter who they play. They do what they do. Stop us. Okay, you stopping the run game today? Mm-hmm. Okay, Brady, we're going to need you to throw for three bill. Okay, you playing coverage. Mm-hmm. You dropping everybody back. Sonny Michel, Burkhead. I'm going to need you to run the ball. James White, you going to sprinkle a little of you in here too today. That's what they do. But Skip, they're undefeated, rightfully so. But it's hard for me to really assess just how good they are, given I'm trying to figure out what other team that could play these teams and not be undefeated. The only one, give Buffalo, because I think Buffalo's defense is legit. But their offense, Skip, leaves a lot to be desired. So I'm going to give them credit for one win. Buffalo, New England going to Buffalo and winning that game, that's worth 2 points. But the rest of that, nah, they get nothing from me, Skip.
So here was the great irony of what I saw yesterday. I watched all of the Patriot game, and I thought in the first half, Tom Brady looked awful. They could not protect him. They could not run the football a lick. And there were three drop passes, and he's throwing to tight ends named Izzo and Lacoste down from Gronk. Gronk down to Izzo / Lacoste. And Josh Gordon looks now like a tight end to me. Seriously.
He's huge.
I think he's as big as you were when you played.
Yeah, he's bigger than me.
He might be bigger than you were.
Yes.
At that point. What'd you go, 225?
Yeah, 228.
228.
He's got to be 235, 240, Skip.
Well, he just looks so big in the proverbial piano on back. but he's like a possession receiver, and Brady missed him once early, and then later Brady had a pass in the red zone where he was under duress. He was running for his life most of the first half. And when he runs for his life, it looks uglier than that combined 40, right?
Yeah.
We could see that one pass that he threw in the red zone. I was just like, Tom, what are you doing? He just throws it up for grabs. I think he was trying to throw it away.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how stupid is that? That's Tom Brady, because he's about to get crushed,
obviously. But Skip,
yep.
and you're seeing this.
Bad idea. Yeah.
Tom does not want to get hit, Skip.
Well, who would?
No, but I'm saying, but Skip,
42.
Skip, he's starting to flinch. I mean, you see a lot, especially the first half. Mm-hmm. You saw a lot of that.
Okay. So guess what? Tom Brady wound up yesterday throwing for 348 yards. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds like a typical Brady game.
Yep.
And the final score was 33-7, which sounds like a pretty typical Patriot game. After one quarter, they were down 7-6, mm-hmm. thanks to that kid, that undrafted kid, Steven Sills.
What was it? Sims.
He got loose.
Broke 100 tackles.
Yeah, he broke 100 tackles up the sideline. Yeah. That's when Ernestine knocked on my door because she was watching the other room. She said, what are they doing?
Really?
She was watching. I said, you're watching Tom Brady's game? She said, yeah, I'm kind of into it. Huh. And I said, well.
Not much.
Just a big breakdown. I don't know. But the final score was 33-7. And at the end of the night, when all the smoke cleared, the Patriots are unbeaten and have a one-game lead over your Chiefs.
Yep.
So they got a leg up. And I look down the schedule and I say, I don't know. They got a tough game at Philly, but still, could they win at Philly? Sure,
yeah,
they could.
Absolutely.
Could they go 16-0 with a flawed football team? Sure, they could. Look down their schedule and tell me a game that's just a big L for sure.
They're going to be favored in every game.
Yeah.
Maybe the Philly game probably be a pick 'em.
Close.
And if Philly is favored, they're going to be favored by one. Okay. One and a half, maybe okay. Two.
Remember what Philly's Achilles heel is. Mm-hmm. Their secondary
right.
is not very good. And Brady's going to go in there as he – remember what he did to him in the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. He threw for a playoff record 505. I know that was
right.
2 years ago, but they're no better now. In fact, they're worse in the secondary yes. than they were.
Yeah, but I don't believe he has the arsenal.
Okay.
He's not bringing bringing Gronk. And Skip, all that, you know, Chris Hogan was unbelievable in that Super Bowl game.
He was. So yesterday, Tom Brady was throwing 9 targets to Edelman and 9 targets to James White. That's what you got. You're throwing it to a little wide receiver and a little tiny yeah. running back, right?
And when you throw in, he threw 3 to Sonny Michel, and he threw 3 to threw 1 to Brandon Bolden. But Skip, a lot of their offense flows through the running back. Mm-hmm. He throws screens. He'll throw option routes to the yep. running backs. He tries to get the back.
Yeah.
The running back on the linebacker where he'll swing him up the rail. So he does a lot of that. This is not an anomaly where, wow, he threw that many? He threw 15, 16 passes to the running back? Mm-hmm. No, he normally throws a lot of passes mm-hmm. to the running back. They're not trying to throw the ball over your head
yep.
because they don't have that type of receiver. Mm-hmm. Now, with Antonio Brown, I think that's why Tom got so upset. He like, for the first time in a long time, I'm about to have me a guy I can throw over the top.
I got a weapon.
Yeah.
A bona fide
yeah.
weapon.
Yeah, I got me another red, a little Randy Moss here. I can go over the top.
Yeah.
These guys, Skip, everything is 15 and underneath.
Whew. So they still win 33-7 because Sonny Michel started to get on track
yep.
in the second half. He got out of the doghouse into the daylight.
Right.
And he was running to some daylight. And I think the Redskins were starting to quit on Jay Gruden, who no longer has his job. And Sonny went for 91 total. So
right.
they had a semblance of a run mm-hmm. game. So now they got to come right back on Thursday night at home against Danny Dimes, who got a little bit exposed. He looked like a rookie yesterday.
Yes.
Against the Vikings. The Vikings are really good on defense, right?
Yes.
Okay.
A little exposed.
Okay. So here we go.
Even first cousin. He might be somebody's first cousin. Oh, okay.
Just something to celebrate.
Well,
do
you like the Patriots against the Giants? I kind of like the Patriots.
Yeah. This is not Eli, Skip. This is not Eli going in there. You remember what, 7, 8 years ago?
Maybe they should reinsert Eli.
Eli win that game.
Oh, no,
Eli. Eli the Patriots slayer.
That would be an interesting switch, wouldn't it?
No, they done. They moved on from Eli.
But here's your point. The defense is first in yards allowed and first in points allowed by a world.
Yeah.
Because they've allowed 7 a game. The Bears have allowed 14 a game. So they're a touchdown ahead of the Bears.
Yes.
But to your point, they have played nobody. No, seriously.
No.
They have played nobody.
No.
And they have shown.
But Skip, I think the thing of a good team is that when you play no one, you make them
that's
look
what
like
I'm saying.
No one.
They still look like a dominating defense.
Yeah, that's what you do. You make them look like no one.
So do I think they have a shot at going 16-0? I know it's almost impossible, but yeah, I give them a shot. Do I think they're the best team in football? I do.
Yes.
I just do. Because
by a long shot?
No, but again, they're off to such a good start, and their schedule looks at this moment to be easy enough.
It does.
I just don't know. It's going to come down to, again, they got a one-game lead over Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He gets a chance for revenge on December the 8th at mm-hmm. Foxborough on another, I think that's Sunday night.
Sunday night game.
Yeah. No mercy.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save enough money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting. That's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. No
mercy. So we got our first look at LeBron and Anthony Davis on Saturday night in their first preseason game against the Warriors. In just one half a play, AD dropped 22 points and grabbed 10 rebounds. LeBron had 15 points with 8 assists. So, Shannon, how impressive did those Lakers look?
Where's your handy?
Here
we go. That's what I want.
You skipped it to preseason. And so I don't want to get too excited. I don't want to put anything in front of, but I'm going to get excited. Okay. I like what I saw. You like what you saw too, Skip. Yep. Somebody in heap of trouble. I'll just get put it back down here.
Yeah, thank you.
Jenny be don't want to take that home.
Yeah, please
Jenny,
hide that.
Jenny from Minnie be on that Henny. Skip, they look really good, Skip. Mm-hmm. You had to be impressed with what you saw. I know you liked it, Skip. Mm-hmm. Tell the truth, Skip. Go ahead.
Is it my turn?
No. You can say you like. Not if you liked it.
I liked it.
Okay. Skip, look. What we saw from Anthony Davis is what Anthony Davis has been doing since he's gotten to the league. But playing in Minnesota, playing in New Orleans, Skip, sometimes it went unnoticed. People don't realize just how dominant this young man is. Mm-hmm. He's been this. Anthony Davis is not doing it. He didn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm surprised how soon he and LeBron meshed, but I guess it goes back that they were friends before they got together. I'm sure they talked a lot of basketball. I don't know how much basketball they played in the offseason before this year. But, Skip, Anthony Davis, that pick and roll, good luck stopping that pick and roll. Good luck stopping that. 22-10 at the half. LeBron was 15-8-3 at the half. LeBron James' numbers, Skip, I believe his rebounds will be down because you have AD, JaVale, and Dwight Howard. Love what I saw with Dwight Howard, too. With Dwight Howard playing good ball. JaVale, monster on the glass. Love that, what I saw.
Yep.
And Frank Vogel says, look, that was the lineup that we started this game. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a lot of mixing and matches. The only two things that we know 100% for certain, Anthony Davis and LeBron James will be in the starting lineup. The other three are to TBD, to be determined. Now, with that being said, NBA will notice. They ought to know it's available. Because Anthony Davis, Skip, he rolled it to the rim. He's cleaning up everything. LeBron James, Skip, will average somewhere between, I believe he'll average somewhere between 23 points and 26 points per game. He will average double-digit assists per game, and he'll probably have about 5 to 6 rebounds. His rebounds are going to come.
Magic predicted he was going triple-double. That
takes too much energy. That takes too much energy. Only Westbrook has that kind of energy. But 20, 24, 25, 10, and 6, I think that's realistic. AD! AD might be somewhere around 28-12, 28-13.
MVP?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
It's going to be close. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Them two guys going to be fighting it out. Yeah, pick your poison.
Yeah, them two guys going to be fighting it out.
Who you got for MVP?
Them two guys going to be fighting it out.
What happens if you have two guys on one team, they just cancel
each other. Okay, but you know what? Braun got enough of the whole thing. OAD, let OAD go and get that
Let thing. AD? So now you're picking AD to be your MVP.
AD going to be MVP of the league.
Lakers will be your champion.
AD going to be MVP of the league. Braun going to be MVP of the finals. You like that?
Whatever you say.
And you told me,
hold on. Captain, you're the captain.
Yeah. Right. Skip, baby, you know what?
You put it on. I don't care. It's your day.
Skip, baby, you told me something. Yeah. You said LeBron James is going up his most difficult degree of difficulty.
In the West.
And you said if he could, that'd be something special. So this is what I'm saying.
Okay.
If LeBron James comes up out of the West, wins the title, I don't know why we ever have to have another discussion about the GOAT.
Okay.
He the GOAT.
That's it? It's over?
He come up out of the West after this with Kawhi and Paul George and all this, the Nuggets and Dame Dollar up there, you know, dropping diss tracks.
Yep.
It'll be over.
Really? You done?
Yep.
Now it's my turn.
Yes.
So I have been covering the National Basketball Association since the first year I was with the Los Angeles Times, 1976. It was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's Lakers I was covering. Magic obviously wasn't there yet. Okay. So I go back a ways with the NBA. And all I can tell you is that in my history at the NBA, nobody, you couldn't put anybody on notice in any preseason game because nobody noticed preseason games.
They noticed this.
Nobody cared ever about a preseason game. So I'm going to go not that far out on a limb to say what happened the other night, Saturday night, in the first half was the most overhyped, overemphasized, overreacted to first half of a first preseason game in the history of this league, and it ain't even close. Because I love the Spurs, but I look at the box and I kind of scan through it. I didn't watch the Spurs the other night. They were on opposite the Lakers.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything because they were...
Okay, well, whatever. But I don't care that much about any of these games. This was the first of six Laker preseason games. They are now going to China to play the Nets for a couple, and they're playing the other four all against Golden State, all four. So it's home and home, 2-2 against Golden State, which is the weirdest preseason schedule I think I've ever heard.
Well, we doing them a favor, Skip. You know they're moving in that new building.
Okay.
Nobody else is going to – you think they're going to come out to see the Bucks? Who going to come see in a preseason game? You think they're going to come out and see the Pelicans?
I'll give you
they're going to come see Bron and AD.
So what do we have right now with the Golden State Warriors? We obviously have no more KD. We have no more DeMarcus Cousins. God bless him. I hope he returns quickly.
Yep.
And obviously there's no Clay, and God bless him. I hope he returns quickly. So they're down three big players that they had last year, which forced them to start on Saturday night. Alphonso McKinney, Omari Spellman, and the new addition, D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell shot 2 of 9 and 0 for 4 from 3. And not much better was Omari Spellman because he was 2 of 9, 2 of 6 from 3. And Steph Curry was 1 of 5 from 3.
Everybody was bad from three.
Okay.
New building, Skip.
By the way, Anthony Davis took 3 3-pointers and missed all 3 of them. I don't know where those came from. That would scare me if I'm LeBron.
They don't scare me.
I just don't want him shooting.
Yeah, he's going to be just fine.
Okay, well, we'll see about that. But speaking of shooting threes, what just blew me away was Steph Curry had decided he was going to take the first shot at the new building, at Chase. And can we see what he chose to do? He chose to shoot it from like 35 feet. Here it is. And it was, 3 feet short?
Yeah.
Good old
now,
preseason.
Now, again, as much respect as I have for Steph, how can you christen a building with an air ball?
I love it.
I get it that he would say, I want to take and make the first shot, right? Because now you've opened Pandora's box of demons. You know, now everybody's thinking, ooh, you just airballed the first one? Now, how can we follow that up? And then nobody could really make three.
I ain't worried about Steph Curry. Steph Curry can shoot as many threes from as far as he wants to.
Well, I am worried again about LeBron from the free throw line because he's off to the races
already. You know what's good?
5 of 8, that's 63%. Last year he was a career low 67%. So here we go.
The new rims,
Chase Center, background.
Skip,
I don't know. Pandora's box flung open by Steph.
That was the only thing that I could find fault with.
Oh, really?
They were bad as a team.
They were.
19 of 30 from the free throw line.
Wow, that's 63%.
Yeah, that won't cut it. We better than that.
Are we going to be that all year?
Yep.
Is that what's going to happen?
I bet you we shoot 75. I bet you LeBron shoots 75%.
You think so?
75.
75.
How many cases on 75? I'll
10.
Take that. 10 cases.
10 cases.
Done. I got it. 10.
You don't think LeBron James will shoot 75% for the free throw line?
What did he have last year?
67.
Exactly.
Oh, he bounced back.
That's the number.
Bounced back,
yeah.
Lose last year? 5?
5.
You lost 5. Now you're going to lose 10.
75?
75.
Sure about
really?
That, Shannon?
Okay. All right. I got it. Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much.
Congratulations, Skip, on those dues. I feel like.
So what do I see from the Laker roster? It's inverted from the one that LeBron used to have back in his Cleveland days. Remember the infamous quote when we were at the Super Bowl in 2016 at Houston, and it was that night that they had played at New Orleans and lost. It was like our first day in Houston of Super Bowl week, and LeBron uttered the infamous quote, "We are top heavy as, you know, that bad word."
And they were.
Okay. And now they're actually bottom heavy because This roster, I got to tell you, it's pretty impressive going deep.
Yeah.
It goes down all the way down to Alex Caruso, who I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
So they've got real depth here.
You know what, Skip? I mean, they're going to be some guys. Quinn Cook didn't play. Jared Dudley didn't play. No. Kyle Kuzma is nursing an ankle injury.
I got it. So they did all that. And what I wondered, I almost texted you on Saturday night, but I didn't want to bother you because I know you're deep in your hen at that point. But I just wondered, was there going to be a parade today in downtown LA?
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, they should just go ahead
and
throw the parade.
That they were trending.
It trended number one in the U.S. all Saturday night.
Yep.
It took over from college football.
Yep.
Just took it over.
AD, boy, there was a stretch right there. I think it was in the first.
Yeah.
Where AD was like, bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam. He was something. 9 of 16.
And Skip, that was the first half.
Yeah, I know. They all just played a half.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Huh. So it's over, right?
That's it.
Huh.
Just a matter of time.
I stand by what I said. Highest degree of difficulty in LeBron's career because he used to have cakewalks through the East. Mm-hmm. And then last year, the West wasn't as balanced as it is now because everybody switched sides. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you got huge balance. And you got Utah making a new push with new acquisitions. You got Russ going to James Harden. And all of a sudden, we'll see about that.
Smacking everybody.
DeJounte Murray back in San Antonio. All of a sudden, there are just no easy games. You got to play these people multiple times. And again, this may be the easiest game they'll have all year. Was the first night in the Chase Center against what's left of Golden State right now. Hmm. Yeah.
Heat.
Yeah.
That's our new motto.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Handling everyone as professionally.
Wow. Look at that one.
Say that again.
I don't handling heap. Everyone as professionally. That's the Lakers motto.
It's a new motto.
So when we do 56, we got 5 cases on 56
that,
wins,
that
too.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does.
Professionally?
Yeah.
Everyone.
Okay. We ain't gonna do all that trash talking and pointing, because you know that's what you expect us to do.
Yeah.
But we're gonna be professional with this. We're gonna beat you, move on to the next city. We're gonna be like Ringling Brothers. Mm. You know how they Skip used to have a year pop up, you should go travel by cart, you know, train. Mm. What we gonna do? Bust your head, pack up, go on to the next city.
Circus goes to
next city.
It is a circus.
Yeah, next city.
And the best part of the circus will be the post-game interviews when LeBron starts saying,
there you go, see?
I thought he was better.
You know, dude, Skip, you always trying to start some dissension. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that.
But I give you this, they look good for the first half of the first exhibition.
Yeah, right? My boy D-Lo gave me
LeBron's quotes were he had butterflies.
Yeah, buddy, nervous.
This is it. This is
nervous for the season.
Are you the parade master
like
today?
What happened was LeBron says, you know, last year I got hurt.
He did mention that.
And got hurt. My season kind of ended right here.
Well,
you know, missed the playoffs.
Well, at Oracle, they were 20-14 when he pulled his groin. And they were blowing out Golden State then. And that was good Golden State.
Good thing he doesn't have to go back there.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? Gonna blow him out this time. Put an AD with man, AD a monster. I might have to get me another
monster.
I might have to get me another goat mask.
Really?
I have two goat masks.
Two goat masks.
Right now,
you have two goats on the same team. Somewhere, Michael Jordan is rolling his eyes.
But this goat mask is gonna have some little horns, some little horns. He'll got them big horns like Bron. See, Bron get that old big horn.
Really?
Big horn, yeah.
No mercy.
Well, how about this? Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury got their first NFL win in a game that came down to the wire against the Bengals in Cincinnati. Kyler had just under 100 yards rushing, along with a touchdown and 253 yards through the air. The rookie QB also led the Cardinals on a two-minute drive that resulted in the game-winning field goal as time expired. Fox NFL analyst Michael Vick joins us now. Good to have you, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
How much improvement did you see yesterday in Kyler's performance?
It was a great deal of improvement. And you've seen it in the final drive of the game when he led his team down the field to kick a field goal to win it. And that's not easy as a rookie.
Right.
And, you know, even though they had 1-3-1 or whatever the record was at the time, or 0-3-1, you know, he still has to, you know, put this team in a position, carry him on his back the best way he can. And I think in the passing game, he looked as just as good as he's done all year. I think he got some help from David Johnson, and the 93 yards rushing was probably the biggest caveat in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it on the ground, picking up some key first downs, and using his abilities to put the team in position. that's the maturity. That's what I wanted to see from Kyler Murray. I didn't think he did it enough early in the season, but now I think it's all coming together with the help of Cliff Kingsbury and the offense evolving week to week.
Yep.
Probably seeing some things that's happening around the league with other quarterbacks. You know it's a copycat league,
right?
But it doesn't matter. If you can do it and do it efficiently, then it helps. But I was just impressed with the way he drove the team down the field. And, yes, it was the Cincinnati Bengals who are struggling.
Sure.
But regardless of
that's
that.
Putting it mildly.
Yeah, you still struggling severely. But this is the NFL, and you still have to make the plays that need to be made. And I think Kyler did that in the critical moment.
He did.
I'll give him credit. Winning a road game, as Mike mentioned, is never easy, especially as a rookie quarterback. Going on the road to win is the most difficult thing to do in the NFL. Going on the road to win as a rookie is even more difficult. But as Mike mentioned, it is the Bengals. Skip, you and I used to talk about it for the past 3 years. Everybody, fire Marvin, fire Marvin. I see you guys, you don't remember what the Bengals were like before they got Marvin. Now, I bet you there's a bunch of people wishing they had Marvin because now look at them, Skip, lifeless. I think the biggest caveat in all of this, Skip, Kyler Murray played unbelievable. I thought he was more assertive in his throws, but Skip, 38 rush attempts for 266 yards. That will make a quarterback's job a lot easier on the road.
Who was the leading rusher?
He was 10 for 93.
He led the team in rushing.
He got David Johnson, got 91. Edmonds got 68.
Yep.
You can win with that formula. And on the last drive, it's not easy. Game-winning drive because a lot of things can go wrong. You know, hey, we tie ball game. They's like, look, we can. I love the scramble. Skip, you know, in the previous game, what he would do, it was like he was trying to prove something. I'm going to prove people that I'm a protection breaks down. I'm going to keep my eyes down the field. Yesterday, he said, screw that. Protection break down, I'm getting up out of here. I'm gone.
Yeah.
He did that on the final drive, picked up 24 yards. He's starting to become more assertive. Yep. He's starting to become more sure of himself, not only running the football, but throwing the football, and he got a victory.
Feel for the game.
But they got to improve in the red zone, Skip. Okay. One touchdown and six chances. They're, what, third worst in the NFL. They're only getting 30% TDs on their red zone opportunities. You won't win very many games like that. You got very lucky that you're playing a team really bad in Cincinnati, but if you go 1-for-6 in the red zone, that's a recipe to get your butt kicked, be at home or on the road.
So 10 rushes for 93 yards, that's kind of Vic-like, right? That's kind that's like the Michael Vick experience-like stuff.
It is.
Right? Yeah. So just for the record, just for some perspective, Cincinnati rushed it for 108 yards, and Andy Dalton threw for 262, two touchdowns and no interceptions. So it wasn't like they were that awful.
No.
They're still a legitimate pro football team, albeit a struggling one.
No, they're just a pro football team. They ain't legitimate. They're just a pro football team.
I think they're legitimate. So I told you that the biggest achievement of the year to me so far as an upset goes, was Arizona in a rookie's debut at home, his first NFL start. They tied a Detroit team that has proven to be pretty good. Right?
Fair, yeah.
And they did it because Kyler Murray in the fourth quarter and overtime threw for 238 yards in that game. I'm just talking about the fourth quarter and overtime. He's 20 of 29, and obviously they decided not to go for broke at the end, and they just settled for
play
the top.
Guy.
Okay, and you couldn't really condemn Cliff Kingsbury because he might have thought this is the best shot we got at anything, right? But they did go to Cincinnati and win. And, by the way, they went to Baltimore in week two, and you watched that game against Lamar Jackson. And Kyler hung in there pretty well, and they were still in the game midway fourth quarter. And then they had tough home games against Arizona and Seattle, and he didn't look so good because Arizona and Seattle have pretty good defense.
Yes.
And they were all over him. And I agree with your point. I kept saying, run, just take off.
Right.
Because that scramble that he made in that last drive, if we could see that again, that was vintage Oklahoma Sooner Heisman run. Because that's what he used to do.
Right.
He averaged 100 yards a game last year by doing that. And you know what I love about this little man, and he's a little man, he's never in harm's way to me.
No.
And you guys say, well, he can't take the punishment up here. And he can't. Unless he avoids it.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's got that built-in sort of self-preservation mechanism in his brain. I don't know what it is. You didn't always have it, especially in Atlanta. You took some shots in Philly. But this little man, because he's always been, as Cliff Kingsbury said, he's always been little.
But, you know,
right?
Sometimes guys fall into the trap where he has to learn to throw the ball from the pocket.
Yeah.
And before they mature, they start hearing that and it's like, okay, I'm going to be a pocket passer. That will come over time. Yeah. Steve Young had to learn that those are traits that are young.
I got it. Robert Griffin, I kept saying, he is so gifted. He's an Olympic, what was he, a hurdler?
Yeah, he's a hurdler.
Yeah. But he's got Olympic kind of burst to him. And when in his rookie year, he would run, and then he couldn't figure out how to get down. Yeah. I don't know, like some guys say, I just don't know how to slide. They brought in one of the Washington Nationals, the coaches, to say, get down. Yep. You know, you got to start like this. You put one foot out in front of the other, and you slide across the grass. Kyler can really get down. You saw him at the goal line. Yeah. He's just gone. He's Russell Wilson like
that. But Skip, normally guys that slide are not that fast. They don't be running fast like Mike Vick. They don't run fast like a Robert Griffin III. Most baseball players don't got that kind of legit speed.
Similar to Russell Wilson, I think if anything for Kyler, what he will look back at this game and see, and even if he watched Russell Wilson last week, which I hope he did, it was probably as good a job as the guy controlling the game, running the football, passing the football, protecting himself as I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I wish I could have done
the
it
Rams
like that.
Game,
but if Kyler learns to play that way, he'll come out of this game learning so much more as far as what he can do with his abilities and how he can change the dynamics of a game, running and passing the football, always pass first, but then using his running abilities as an opportunity to keep the chains moving, keep the opposition off the field. He'll learn about ball control.
And yet, don't tell me he can't throw at this level because that throw he made, if we could see it one more time, to David Johnson in that final drive, that's pretty sweet, man. Right. He just dropped it right down the chimney to David Johnson.
Right in the bucket.
This is a pretty good
throw. That's a bucket throw.
And he's a great thrower, I mean.
But, you know, the thing that concerned you, Skip, I don't think anybody said he couldn't throw. The question was, can they protect him long enough so he can have time to throw? In that situation, they locked it up pretty good, gave him a clean pocket. But for the most part, he hasn't had an opportunity to throw the football because they haven't given him a whole lot of time to throw it.
Yep. So who had the most targets? Larry Fitzgerald. He's long in the tooth. He's getting near the end. But that's all you got right now. You got to throw 8 targets to Larry Fitz.
Right.
I still want to see him come up out of that spread formation a little more and get up under the center and, you know, just run the football. Two backs, single back sets. It's going to make a difference for him in this game.
I think you just spoke a language Cliff Kingsbury has never heard before.
I just don't know how many games you can win and how successful you can be long-term, Skip, without letting the quarterback get up under center. Even Tom Brady, Skip, they throw a lot from the shotgun.
A lot.
But he gets up under that center.
He gets up under.
When that rubber needed, check the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. When the rubber needed to meet the roll, he got up under center and he turned around and headed to Sonny Michel.
Okay. All right. Well, he's going to look for his second career win. Next week they host the Falcons. So.
The Falcons a mess. Mm. The Falcons a mess, Skip. No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Why?
Washington fired head coach Jay Gruden early this morning following another blowout loss, this one to the Patriots. In his sixth season with the team, Gruden had only one playoff appearance and a record of 35-49-1. Over the weekend, videos also emerged of Gruden smoking and talking to a younger woman on a sidewalk. According to Pro Football Talk, these videos are at least a year old, just to keep that in perspective. So, Shannon, what do you make of this?
I'm seeing a reoccurring theme, Skip. I don't know about you.
Yep.
Something happened very similar to, I think, the general manager, Scott McLuhan. It was some stuff got out that, you know, he had a problem with the bottle. Now, all of a sudden, now this is, it's being reported, this is a year, year and a half old. It seemingly, all of a sudden, it surfaces now.
And you're suggesting?
I ain't suggesting anything. Okay. Because I don't really think you needed a reason. You don't need this video. I mean, the dude is 14 games under 500. I mean, what? He lost to the Patriots. So you're going to fire him after losing to the Patriots. Really, Skip? You could have fired him a year ago. And nobody would have batted an eye. 2 years ago, no one would have batted an eye. Now, after the video supposedly surfaces, this was the final straw. But yeah, it was a good old time, you know. He's like, hey. And then Skip, he just like, you know, took him a little toke, one last toke. And then he saw the cameras like, damn, they got me. Maybe if I can win like 5 or 6, maybe if I can go 10-5. Let me ask you a question, Skip. He 5-0, he 4-1. What's the chance that video comes out? I didn't think so. Look, coaches, now we done had a ton of coaches. One thing that has not changed, the owner has not changed in 20 years. That hasn't changed. And I believe in the last decade, the guy that's running the front office has not changed, Bruce Allen. Now, there's a reoccurring theme here. You've gotten a lot of different coaches. You have a lot of different players.
A lot of different quarterbacks.
Oh, yes. And the owner of 2 decades and then the guy running the ship for a decade.
Yep.
So let's start with that. Cleanse that.
I can't believe Jay Gruden lasted this long. And it seemed like week to week this year, wasn't he almost begging to be fired?
Yeah.
He kept saying, well, I'm going to show up tomorrow and I'll keep doing what I've been doing.
If the key works, I guess I got a job.
I guess if they don't change the locks on me, I guess I'll keep my job. Well, it's just a sad situation, and it starts with the owner and then it goes to the general manager. And did they get a bad break losing Alex Smith? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
But still, Jay Gruden managed one playoff game, and that was at home with Kirk Cousins against Aaron Rodgers, and they lost.
Yep.
Okay? That's it. In 6 years, one playoff game, it's just not good enough. And to your point, 14 games under 500 and barely 2 winning seasons, because the next year they went 8-7-1 after their playoff season. Not good enough.
Right.
So what have I seen with Jay Gruden? What has been the recurring theme that I see? He's got a lot of John Gruden in him in that this man is hard on quarterbacks. Do you remember how hard he was on Robert Griffin III?
Yep.
As he tried to come back from that horrendous knee.
But he got the job, Skip, because he said, I could fix Robert.
Yep.
Because look at what I did with Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. And Robert has way more talent. Okay.
But then publicly, again and again, he would be asked about Robert, and he would just be so dismissive and so
very
sarcastic.
Very disrespectful, yes.
Very disrespectful.
Absolutely.
And the position is hard enough to play without the head coach just sniping at you.
Correct.
Through the media, putting you in a bad spot. Like, it's always your fault. It's not the coach's fault.
Correct.
And then Kirk Cousins. Did Jay ever buy into Kirk Cousins? They never bought into
Kirk. And that goes, I fought Daniel Snyder. I fought Bruce Allen. I fought Jay Gruden, because Skip, what you're doing, you're betting against yourself with Kirk Cousins, because you wouldn't give him a long-term extension.
Yeah.
You're basically going year to year.
Yeah.
Why not just move on and go into the draft?
One way or the other.
You see what Andy Reid did, Skip? Andy Reid traded first-round picks to move up. You see what Chicago did? They traded first-round picks. You go in the draft. You don't like what you have.
Yep.
You mortgage something in the future to get a guy that you say, I can build with this guy.
Okay.
Jay Gruden is reported. Jay Gruden didn't want Haskins.
He did not want him.
But the owner wanted him.
Yep.
The owner's always going to win out.
I know.
Coach Belichick got a bunch of Super Bowl rings, but he don't have veto power over the owner.
Has Jay Gruden been hard on Dwayne Haskins? I'll bet he has.
Yes.
And again, has Dwayne played well? He's not played well. Is it time to see what he's got?
Yep.
It's time to see.
Yes.
Probably time about 3 games ago to see what he's got. And so whoever the interim coach is will...
Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan, who's been a head coach in Oakland, obviously got him to a Super Bowl.
Correct.
You know, I like Bill Callahan. I think he'd still be a candidate to be the permanent coach, but we'll see. But he'll be nicer to Dwayne Haskins. He'll put him more of a comfort zone to...
What?
to see what he does have.
Washington is a mess.
Yep.
Its owner is a mess.
Yep.
And the guy that's running the ship for the owner, Bruce Allen, is a mess.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.